Good morning, welcome back to the Outdoor Show. All right, it is 5 o'clock here in the Bayou City. All right, let's go down and talk with our good friend Captain Lynn Smith in Port O'Connor. Hey, Lynn, what's up, bud?
Man, I tell you, I thought we were going to get some rain.
Yeah,
coming up from the Gulf down there in Bay of Campeche, and it just didn't happen. And we got one little shower. That was it. That was amazing. You know, amazing. All that stuff just dissipated.
It hung a left and went in there around Reynosa or wherever and just started ragging apart.
It did. It was amazing. We got an eighth of an inch of rain right here. That's
Boy, you can tell we're getting old, man. We get excited over rain and everything nowadays.
Oh, we need it, though. We need it here. I mean, everything's dry.
It's bad.
I went downstairs yesterday and I said, I'm done, man. I gotta water my lawn, you know. So I put out a sprinkler, and I walked back to walk upstairs, and I had a visitor, man. I had a snake on my stairway.
Uh-oh.
And I've told you,
people,
no, it wasn't. Oh. It was a rat snake.
Okay.
But it could have easily been a rattlesnake, I guarantee you. But it was about a 2-foot rat snake on about my second or third step going upstairs. And he was on that step. He was looking at me, boy, had his tongue sticking out. And I said, what are you doing there, boy? And he was looking at me, and I kind of stomped my foot, and he took off, and he jumped down on my concrete and went by my truck. But I told one of my neighbors about it. They said, you didn't kill that snake. I said, no, that's a good snake. No, you want those around.
No, you want those. No doubt.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. But I tell people, you know, you gotta be careful around here, because we do have some brush. I've got a big field right behind my house, and the grass in it's about 2 to 3 feet high. And you gotta be on your toes. Every day when I walk downstairs, I'm looking all the time.
Yeah, that's me. When I walk around, I'm doing stuff in the yard, I'm always looking down on the ground. You just never know when Mr. Copperhead or Mr. Water Moccasin, or in your case, rattlesnakes down there. Gotta watch.
That's right. Oh, you better be careful. I guarantee you. And when you're not looking for them, that's when you find them.
Always.
Always when you run into them. So. You got to be on your toes, guarantee you. But anyway, man, it's been a heck of a week. I worked on my boat a little bit and had to put in a new battery charger, 3-bank charger on my boat.
Right.
And my other one wouldn't charge but 2 of the batteries. And
that's usually what happens. One bank will go bad.
It did. And it's only been 14 years. They just don't last, you know?
No, they don't. It's just junk nowadays.
Yeah.
14 years, that's pretty good, man.
That's not bad.
What is my boat now, that old Kenner of mine? I think it's 22 years old, and I'm on my third charger.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. But I'll tell you what, man, laying down, reaching up under that console, replacing that battery.
It's not for old guys, man.
No, it's not. But I got it done. And oh, my goodness. But anyway, and then I immediately went out and started fishing. And it was hot on that water. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Good grief. It was hot. But anyway. I ran out to surf one day and I ran down by the lighthouse hoping it was going to get a little calmer, but it didn't. And I turned around, came back in, and it was a little bit too rough out there that day. That was about Tuesday, I guess it was, but a little bit too bumpy.
Yeah, see, Tuesday, it was ice cream up here. It was northwest at like 3 to 5 that morning.
Oh, man.
When I fished, I'm going, man, this is what you want. And then it
turned out, a little bit.
There's little storms popping up everywhere except, you know, where I wanted them to be along my shoreline. But we did fish in the rain, but it wasn't any lightning or anything. It was just light rain, and it kind of felt good. Man, it kept us going. Cooled us off.
Yeah. Well,
plus,
I came back in the bay.
We caught a lot of our fish was in that rain.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that felt good. Yeah, raining on.
Yeah, it did.
For sure.
But it sure got hot afterwards, about 1 o'clock.
Oh, gosh.
Man, it was hot.
Oh, man, I know. Well, I stayed out till about 11:30, and it got real sultry, you know. My goodness. I've got a T-top on my boat. I think you do, too, probably.
No, I don't have one. That's the older I get, the more I'm thinking about one, if I'm going to sit out there in the middle of the day.
Oh, my goodness, yes. And, man, I had to sit down underneath that shade for a few minutes. It was hot. It was just wasn't a whole lot of breath of air. And the bay was flat. And, I had to get some shade. Yes. Yep. Yeah, I was in the surf one day, and I had some guys, and I was sitting on my leaning post. I was in the shade, and I had some guys sitting up front, and one guy got up, and he walked back there where I was, and he got in that shade, and he went, oh, my goodness, man.
It's like air conditioning.
It's 20 degrees. Yeah. It's 20 degrees cooler here. I said, well, yeah, my mama didn't raise a fool. I said, yeah.
Well,
I said, oh, yeah. It is. It's 20 degrees cooler under that T-top, I guarantee you. And you know, you don't need much of a T-top. I just have it just barely over me, and that's it. Just need a little shade. That's all you need. But gosh, mighty, it makes a big difference.
Well, it won't be long. We'll be talking about it's too cold to go fishing.
It won't take much, I guarantee you.
Yeah, I'm ready for it. I'm looking forward to fall. Hopefully we have an early one this year.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Yeah, one of my neighbors, she was down yesterday kind of preparing her house in case we had a storm or anything coming in, because she was going on vacation. She was going up to Portland, Oregon, and for a few days, and she was telling me how cool it was up there. I said, oh, man, don't tell me. Don't tell me this. And she was talking about how nice it was going to be.
That's a whole different world up there, man. That's
isn't it?
The weather's nice and everything, but not the people. I had one of my nephews had to do like a 6-month job up there, and he said, man, my wife and I and the kids, we were out of place.
Really?
He said it's totally different. It's like going to another world, he said.
Oh, my goodness.
He said, man, I'm from Texas. And he said, it's just everything's totally different, he said. Portland.
Well, I guarantee you, Colorado can be that way, too. I mean, I lived in Colorado. I worked up there. And,
yeah.
You know, they don't particularly like Texans.
No.
Because Texans own all the ski resorts except Winter Park. Winter Park is owned
by...
Well,
that's why we all went to Vail. You know, when we used to go skiing, we'd go to Vail because that was all Texans there, you know.
Oh, yeah. Well, Winter Park is owned by the city of Denver.
Right.
So, you know, they really don't like Texans, I guarantee you. It was funny.
A lot of people don't. Hey, we're special.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. When I went to work up there, the first thing I did, boy, was... When I first went up there, somebody told me, they said, boy, first thing you need to do is change your license plates. Go to the courthouse, get you some Colorado plates, get those Texas plates off your car. Oh, that's the first thing I did. Oh, yeah. But it was funny.
Jealousy.
I went in to get some clothes cleaned in a cleaner. And I was coming out, I was walking out of a cleaner one day, and there were two elderly women walking in. Gray-haired women, so I opened the door, and I held the door open for them, and this woman, she said, oh, it's so nice to have a gentleman hold the door for a couple of women, and I said, yes, ma'am, it is. I said, I'm a I'm a Southern gentleman. I'm from Texas. Y'all have a nice day. And you should have seen the expression on those women's face. Their mouths are wide open, boy. I mean, it was so funny.
Southern gentleman. Well, I've heard you called a lot worse.
That was so funny. But anyway, yeah, boy. Well, I think we're going to have a fairly good week. It should be a good week of fishing.
Well, everybody's saying that. You know, the extended forecast looks very favorable, so.
I think it does.
I'm going to hold y'all to that.
Well, I hope it does. Yeah, I'm gonna hit the water here in the next day or two and get out there with them. Get out there after them.
So, yeah, I'll be out there tomorrow and Tuesday, so.
Yeah. Me too. I'm going to get out there after them.
Rest up Wednesday and come back to the radio shop.
Yeah.
Get ready for another week.
There you go. There you go. I hadn't looked at the tides yet. Do we have much tide moving?
You got a standing high today. It's we're sitting on a high right now. And boy, that tide yesterday morning, did y'all have a lot of water? Ours bulled up big time.
It did come up. It did. Yeah.
And but it's standing high. I think the lows tonight at 6:12. So afternoon fallouts, you know, that's going to be your current. It's going to be standing high all morning long. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's good, though. We got some water back. So.
Yeah.
Yeah, that water
y'all
fell
love
out
getting
for a
that
while.
Water.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
now,
yeah,
I love getting the bull tides in the fall, you know, the spring. They call it the spring equinox in the fall. I don't get it, but, you know, we get on that two-week equinox and we get those bull tides. Man, that's kind of kicks off our wade fishing season. You get fish areas that are normally ankle deep. They're, you know, knee deep to waist deep. Man, those trout get up in there good, so good when it's like that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, yeah. We need to cool that water down a little bit.
And it will. That equinox always does. We get those cooler currents. And maybe a front here or there. Man, that'd be nice to get some early cool fronts. Plus, that'll keep the canes away, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Push them out of here.
Boy, I'm seeing a lot of alligators. A bunch of alligators. Oh, gosh, yes. I mean... A couple of days ago when I went out, I didn't go a quarter of a mile. I'd already seen three just on my way out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they're just – alligators are everywhere. As long as you don't have a lot of boat traffic, I'm seeing a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of alligators out right now. I think since we're not having a lot of rain – and we're not having a lot of fresh water on the islands. Those gators are coming to the bay fronts.
Yeah.
So that's what it is.
Seen that before, too.
Oh, yeah.
As long as they don't follow you around while you're wade fishing, that makes me nervous.
That's the truth. Yeah, I know.
Especially when they're, you know, big, 8 foot and up.
Make
you a little nervous and antsy. Let me knock this break out, Lynn. I'll be right back at you, buddy. Hang on,
all righty,
man. All right, you're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show, 518 here in the Bayou City. All right, Lynn, we're back already. We're up and out.
All right. Man. Yeah, I ran into a guy that is a Border Patrol guy, and ran into him. He was down here fishing several years ago, and I ran into him. He was down here this week, and a nice guy. And he's stationed down on the border of South Texas, and I remember him telling me that, he says it's really crazy. I mean, he said, absolutely, the drug deal is just absolutely crazy right now. down there.
Really?
He said it's going nuts. Yeah. But you know, back then, I mean, when I first met him, he was down there fishing with me. It's been a couple of years ago I first met him. He said, and what really surprised me, he said there wasn't a day goes by that they didn't find a body floating in the river down there.
Yeah.
Not one day. He said it was just that crazy down there.
It is.
Yeah.
Well, with the traffic slowed up, a lot of hunters might be happy with that this year.
Yeah, I would imagine. But right now, he said the drug problem is just berserk. I mean, they're just open about it. They don't even try to hide it.
Big deal. Yeah, they got to get them in here.
Oh yeah, they don't even try to hide it now. He said they just come across the border with it, and they're just going down the highways with it as fast as they can.
Well,
he said it's nuts. Oh man. I tell you what, I wouldn't want that job. It's too dangerous.
No, that's probably the worst job there is to have in law enforcement.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. But anyway, but back to fishing. I think it's going to be good this week. It should be awesome. I'm going to get back in that water, jump in the water with them. And wade some of these shorelines. I had some people ask me about stingrays down here. That was so funny. And one guy said, "I'm going to wear these socks, stingray socks or something like
socks.
That." Yeah, they've got these socks.
Hadn't you know, heard of those.
They're Kevlar socks, mm-hmm. You know. And I've seen them before. And I said, I don't think that's good enough.
You think they work?
I said, well, they're Kevlar, but I said, you know, Kevlar will stop a bullet, but it won't stop an ice pick. So I wouldn't trust them. No. I said, I'm proof that the Kevlar won't stop an ice pick. I guarantee you that. Because they didn't stop my leg, my ice pick.
No, and you take a little old... you know, a thin blade knife, you know, like with these snake boots. And everybody goes, well, why don't I wear those wade fishing? And I said, well, I think, you know, pretty much you can take the tip of a knife and stick right through them. That's no different than a stingray barb.
And that's right.
It's there's a big difference between fangs on a snake and a barb on a ray. That barb's nasty, man.
Oh, tell me. Tell me. I know all about it. But
firsthand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And, you know.
To the choir, man.
Oh, tell me. And let me tell you what. It's painful. I mean, it's as painful as you'd ever can imagine. And I'd always heard how painful it was, but I never realized just how bad it was.
Well, it's a fire that won't go out till you pour hot water on it.
Well, every time your heart beats, it throbs. That pain throbs. And, you know, it's brutal. It really is. And what gets me is somebody gets hit by a stingray and then they continue to wade fish and don't wear ray guards after that.
Yeah.
I don't understand that, you know.
Wonder if Jody Norris wears them now.
I bet he does.
He does, too.
I talked to him after.
That's the nastiest hit I think I've ever seen.
Oh, it was pretty bad. And I asked Jody when he got hit, I said, well, Jody, obviously you weren't wearing ray guards. He said, no, but they are in my future.
Yeah.
That's what he told me.
You think?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, that's brutal. That was a brutal hit. Well, they had to life flight him. They life flighted him back from the chandeliers.
Yeah.
Because they couldn't stop the bleeding. I mean, that's how bad it was.
That was a bad one.
Oh, man. I mean, you know, it's brutal. I mean,
well, in this time of year, with all the bacteria in the water, with this hot water, you know, there's always a chance of Vibrio, too.
Sure.
You know, yeah. When you get stuck and you're in that water, and, boy, that'd be the worst of both worlds.
Oh, Matt, can you imagine?
Ray hitting and turning into Vibrio. What a nightmare that'd be.
Oh, my goodness.
Just cut it off, Doc. Just whack it off.
Well, when I got hit, this doctor, friend of mine out of Port Lavaca, he called me, and he said, did they x-ray your leg? I said, yes, they did. And there was nothing left in there.
Make sure there's no bone fragments or anything in there from the barb?
Well, what he told me was, he said, on that barb, there's little curlicues on that barb.
Oh, yeah.
And what happens is when that stingray pulls it out, it leaves those little curlicues in your leg.
Yes.
And that's what gets it infected.
Yeah, your body rejects it.
Well, yeah, those little curlicues are left in there. Well, luckily, what happened was that particular morning, it was in March, and it was pretty cold. It was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And I put on a brand new pair of neoprene waders. Just took them out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
And so that barb went through those neoprene waders plus those boots. Oh. And it was those Hodgman Stingray boots, they called them.
Yeah.
Well, it went right
so
through.
So much
them.
For that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I still had the box from those boots. So when I got home, I looked at that box, and I read on that box, it said Stingray Resistant.
Resistant. Yeah, there you go.
Uh-huh.
No,
didn't
no
say proof.
Just that's like buying a water-resistant watch compared to a waterproof watch.
Exactly.
Resistant.
Yeah, that's resistant. That's the way they covered it. So, anyway, but that barb went through that boot and through those waders like it was nothing. And
like
then
butter.
when he took off, he pulled that barb out and. I mean, it was like nothing, and you could see those Kevlar threads sticking out of that boot.
Yeah,
they were just sticking out of it. And I pulled up out there. I pulled up at Charlie's bait camp, and I pulled up the dock. Oh, Shelly Gray was sitting there, and she saw me pull up. She knew I had a charter that morning, and she shrugged her shoulders like, what are you doing back, you know? And I pointed at my leg, and I had blood running down my leg, and her mouth fell open. And she said, what happened? And I said, stingray. And she said, you weren't wearing your boots? And I said, I was wearing them. It went right through them. And
yeah.
She said, oh, my God, don't tell me that. I wear those. And I said, I don't know what to tell you, Shelly, but it went right through them. And, boy, she just shook her head. Well, I pulled my boat out. And then my customers, I left my boat there at the ramp, and my customers drove me into the hospital. Well, when I got back from the hospital, there was a crowd standing around my boat, and they had the boot, and they were standing there looking at the boot. Everybody was.
Yeah.
And you could see the threads sticking out of that boot. Everybody was looking at it. So Hodgman called me, and they were talking about that boot. Well, they took it off the market, and supposedly they revived the boot. They changed it. Well, anyway, old Gary Gray said he told me, he said they sent him another pair. They sent him a new pair of boots. And Gary had a barb off of a big stingray. And he took that barb, and he said he jabbed that boot twice. The second time he jabbed it, it went right through that boot. So he said, enough for this. He put the boots up. He said, that's it. He said, I'm not wearing them. So, you know, what do you do? So I wear the walking ways. I mean, the Everlast, Raptor.
Everlast, yeah, walking wade. That was Paul Perrin. He had some good stingray guards.
Oh, he did, but they were heavy.
Yeah, they are.
They were heavy and kind of bunglesome. I still have some, but but Everlast are lightweight and everything, and I wear those. I wrap around.
Yeah.
And I've actually stepped on rays with those, small rays.
And have felt them pop thump me. It? They have? Mm-hmm. They
felt
pop
me
it?
Pop them. Yeah.
Well, that's good.
So, yeah, I know it. I just have a problem dragging my feet. I can't ever drag my feet, slide my feet.
Yeah, it's a habit of mine because I grew up that way, you know, fishing West Bay, wading with my dad and all them, and that's what we did. We just slid our feet. But you get in areas where there's a lot of structure, you know, with moguls and undulation
Archer
on the bottom.
Reefs.
I mean, you go to dragging your feet, you'll be falling in head first and
that's
you know,
right.
stumping pig ears. You know, you get wading around these reefs and you got you're in the mud and then you stub your toe on that dragging, you know, sliding your feet and it's
that's right. And you can step off into a hole or something.
And they'll be in the bottom of it.
That's right. That's right.
Especially those muggles, you know, you'll be wading them. They'll have a little bit of grass on top of them. And then when you slide off in that hole, there's usually a ray in the bottom of it.
That's right.
Seen that down at Port Aransas a lot.
Especially
over on those East Flats over there. I got some giant rays. Big time.
Man.
Car hoods. Monsters.
Oh, listen. But when I went down to Florida the other day, a few weeks ago, and we waded over off of a point, off a sand point, and one of the guys with me, I looked over to my right, and he was wading over off a point, and there was a ray probably, 2 feet across, and he was on that point, and I watched that guy wade right over, right past that ray. And I said, hey, there's a stingray right there, man. And he waded right past that ray, never even saw him. Now, he had ray guards on, but still, I mean, he never saw that stingray. And he waded right past him. And then the ray kind of spooked and swam right past him. Right past him, about a foot from him. He never saw that ray. I mean, it's so easy. He could have just taken one little step to the left, and he just stepped on that ray. And that ray would have nailed him. Yeah. It's so easy it can happen. Oh, man, I tell you. I watched down here one day. I was waiting. I had some customers. We waded off into a little slough that led into a kind of an open tributary off into open part of the bay. And I was taking them into that and I looked over into an area of Big Pocket, we call it, and there was a boat. I heard this boat idling in there, and I looked over and I saw him let this one guy out of the boat, and I could hear him talking and everything. This one guy got out of the boat to wade, and the boat turned around and was idling back out, and he no sooner turned around to idle back out. And I heard the guy that he let out of the boat holler for him to come get him. And one of my customers said, what do you think's the matter? I said, I bet he got hit by a stingray.
Yeah.
Well, sure enough, when they came back to get him, I heard him say, hey, I got hit by a stingray, you know. Well, about a week later, I ran into that guy that got hit. I ran into him in a grocery store. And he swears up and down, he said, I did not step on that stingray. And he said, I saw him swimming toward me. And he said, I stood perfectly still. And that stingray swam straight toward me and swam between my legs. And he nailed me when he swam between my
legs. I've heard that before, just swimming by and popping somebody. I've heard that without even stepping on them. Isn't that something?
That's what...
Let me knock this break out, Lynn. Hang on. I'll be right back, buddy. All right. Well, BigCashSnapper.com, the Big Cash Snapper Tournament, it's wrapping up its first annual series, and they're having a free entry snapper tournament. That's right. No entry fee. Fish anywhere along the Texas coast on Friday, September 5th. You can fish from 6 a.m. to 4 p.m., and on the next day, bring your best three snapper to the weigh-in at Rusty Hook Ranch in Matagorda, Texas. and that's on September 6th, that's Saturday, and have your fish in there by 6 p.m. First place is $5,000, second place $2,500, third place $1,500. And along with that, they'll have side pots for Big Snapper, King, Ling, and Dorado. Then you can join in after the weigh-in and for food, live music, and they'll be having a fundraiser for the Hookspit Junior Anglers Association. Details at BigCashSnapper.com. That's BigCashSnapper.com. Good morning. Welcome back to the Outdoor Show. 5:39. All right, Lynn, we are back.
Did you happen to make it down to the Hunter's Extravaganza?
No, I did not. I couldn't fit it in, dude.
Yeah, I didn't go either.
I know. I hated missing it, but hey, things change.
I wish I would have made it. They're having it in San Antonio right now.
Right.
And I thought about going over there because I've got friends that are there, you know, in Booth. And I like going by and seeing them, shooting a bow with them. But anyway, it's because it's getting that time of the year, you know, everybody's getting ready for hunting season. So it's coming up before you know it. It'll be here. I mean, dove season's right around the corner, you know.
Yes, it is. Man, everybody's getting ready for that, and dove counts look good from what I'm hearing from all, you know, everybody I'm in contact with down south.
Oh, yeah.
Double and triple hatches this year, and I hadn't talked to Crocker lately. I need to get with him, see how. I'm sure he's loaded up, too. He's looking good up his way, you know, in that Concan area he hunts. Been hunting forever, you know, like Blaine down south.
Yeah.
But Blaine said his quail look good too, Lynn. You know, that they've still got plenty of grass. It's turning brown now, but, you know, they had the rains at the right time this year again.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
He goes down there every couple of weeks, takes about 20,000 pounds of grain down there and feeds everything. And, he said it looks very promising, and the deer look real good too. Some of them are already losing their velvet.
Oh, I can believe it. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It looks good. It's going to be a real good year. It really is. I think the deer are going to be in good shape. Everything's going to be good. Like you say, the rain came at the right time. You know.
Yeah.
South Texas got some good rain.
Well, we sure could use a dose of it now before dove season. Yeah. You know, kind of revitalize everything.
It always seems like you get a lot of rain the week prior to the season, you know.
Yeah.
And they always leave. Never fails.
Well, that happens up here. Usually you can bank on getting on opening day you're going to get rain.
Yeah, I know it.
You know, up here where I'm at hunting east of town, it usually happens. Messes everything up. Got millions of birds one day, and they're all gone the next.
Isn't that something?
That's crazy.
Never fails. Never fails, man. Never fails.
That's why they classify them as a migratory game bird.
Oh, that's right. That is right. Oh, goodness gracious. I think I told you, that friend of mine, her grandson, you know, caught a tagged triple tail down here. And and we're trying to figure out where this triple tail was tagged. Now, I talked to somebody in a restaurant the other day. Now, there's a possibility that triple tail was tagged right here in Port O'Connor. There's some people that were tagging triple tails, and I think they tagged about 20 or so. But the tag says the University of Mississippi, Southern Mississippi.
Huh.
Yeah. Now, and we haven't figured out any information on that tag yet.
There's no kind of contact info, or I guess you just have to contact them directly to see where that tag originated, huh?
Yeah, there's a website on it, and we're trying to get information on it.
Huh.
But haven't gotten any information on it yet. But I talked to Everett Johnson, and we're trying to get information on it.
Right.
But anyway, it's interesting. I mean, surely this triple tail, it wasn't a big one. He's about 19 inches, but surely that triple tail didn't come all the way from Mississippi, you know.
Yeah.
But he might have, but I don't know. It'd be interesting if he did.
Yeah, I remember in the old days, all the tags that TPNW had, they all said Rockport on there. And I caught a tagged redfish in the top end of Trinity Bay back there, and it wasn't a very big one. It was about 24 inches long, but it had a tag in it, and it said Rockport on it. I'm going, all my customers going, you think that fish came from Rockport all the way up here? I said, man, I don't see it. And then I found out that they were using those tags inside HL&P up there, you know, in the cooling pond, when they were tagging redfish, and all of them had Rockport on them.
Yeah, see, that may be the case with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's probably the case with this tag. Yeah.
That'd be more realistic.
Yeah, it would be. And I've caught several tags.
That'd be cool.
Fish.
That'd be a cool conversation if it was tagged a long way from there and it was, that fish ended up in Port O'Connor. That'd be cool.
Wouldn't it? Yeah. Now, I've caught several tagged fish here, trout and reds, but they were all Parks and Wildlife tags.
Right.
And I caught a red one time that was tagged over off the end of Grass Island, and I took it into Parks and Wildlife here, and we looked it up, and sure enough, that red was tagged a year and a half prior to me catching him, and he was tagged exactly where I caught him.
Where you caught him, he never even left.
Never left. Never moved.
That was definitely a resident fish.
Yes, he was. Yeah.
Born and raised and caught there.
Yeah. And it was like the biologist said, you know, we were talking about it, and he said, you know, as long as they got food, they're not moving.
No.
They're just going to be there. They're not leaving. They just kind of hang right there. That's why
that.
These CCA tagged reds that are released for the tournament, if there's a lot of food there, they're not leaving. You know,
no,
they just come hang right there,
and most of them are caught pretty close to where they're released when they let them loose.
Exactly, that's right.
Problem is, we just don't know where they let them go.
That's right.
Then they'd fill the board up with every tagged red to be caught. You know.
Oh yeah, that's right. They would.
You know, right now we're sitting at what is it? Two red tags is all that's been, you know, brought
that's
in
amazing.
And five blue tags, and here it is. We got about 2 weeks left in the star.
And that's amazing. That's all that's been caught.
There's still three boat, truck, you know, packages left in that red tag division.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, that's
that's amazing. Yeah. Oh, that is amazing. I told you one time I was had some customers with me, and we were running we were going to run back into one of the lakes back here, back lakes, and we were going to run back into Fifth Lake. Well, that stretch, you know, from Conti back into Fifth, it's just a straight stretch. You can't turn around. I mean, it's just you just jack your motor up, trim it up, and hope for the best, you know.
Yeah.
And you just take off, and you can't shut down or you're stuck.
Right.
So I was making that straight run, and I had a customer standing beside me, and he looked back, and he went, "Oh, my God." And I looked back, and all you could see was mud and grass, you know, I mean, from my
sucking
weight.
All the water off.
The water off. And I said, "We can't stop." And he said, "No." And right ahead of me, I could see wakes, you know, redfish making wakes. And as we went by them, one of the guys up front was standing up, and he said, "Oh my God, look, that fish is tagged." And you could see the tag.
You could see the tag in the fish? That's crazy.
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah. I said, "I can't stop." And they were saying, "Stop, stop." I said, "I can't. If I stopped, we're stuck." Yeah. Had to run by him. Yeah. Yep. But you can sure see that tag.
Yeah, y'all can see a lot of things down there we don't get to see up here. You know, we used to have the water clarity where we could see fish like that a lot of times. And you know, especially while you're waiting, you'll see a big old giant log trout just cruising by you with no tail wiggle or nothing, just gliding by.
And
with all this dredging and everything that's been going on for, well, they had the 10-year project, and they've continued another 10-year project. So that's going to be 20 straight years of just stirring the bottom up, you know, on our ship channel up here. And it's changed things. It really has. It's changed a lot.
You know, I've told the story once before, but I remember standing on the shoreline one day, and, you know, we got these guts that run parallel to the shoreline.
Right.
And I'm just standing in this one gut, and I had, you know, big old trout, you know, 26, 27-inch trout swimming by me, and I'm just frozen, you know. I just stand there watching these trout come by me, and I'm throwing sight casts into these trout, dragging my baits in front of them, and they just turn their noses up, and I'm just going through every color, different colored baits I can, trying to find something that they'll eat, and they just won't eat a thing. You know, oh man, it's just killing me, you know. And they're just cruising down that one gut, and oh man, I was frustrated. I mean, that's just pure frustration, you know.
It is. Well, it's like the old saying, if you can see them, you usually can't catch them.
That's right. That's exactly right. Oh, man. Stand there and watch those big trout come by you like that. Man, man.
We were waiting time over on the east shoreline, and that water was real air clear. It was just everything was perfect. We were catching beautiful fish, and I seen this big black spot coming at me. I mean, it's big. It's the size of your kitchen or dining room, and I thought it was a big ball of shad. And here it comes. It was coming from out deep straight at us. And it got up there in casting distance, and we all threw out there and bowed up and go, man, that school of shad's got some fish in it. And they swam right through us. It was all trout. That black spot, it was all trout. You thought it was shad, you know, bait fish coming at you.
Yeah.
It was just a big old, there had to be 500 fish in that school, easily.
Oh, man.
All tight packed, just, you know, like in a ball, swam right through us.
That's like down here, I love in the fall, you know, when those redfish school up like that and come down the shorelines and big schools. Oh, my goodness, you know, the water just bronze. Oh, people have never seen something like that. It's just breathtaking, you know.
Strawberry patch coming at you.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, school man, reds, that's exciting fishing. We used to have a lot of that up in the top end of our bay years ago when there was just so many of them. And
it just
you just sit out there in the boat and you just wait for them to come up and then put the troll motor down and ease into them. And once everybody bows up, it's like catching school dolphin. They just stay with you. I mean, you'll reel one in and it'll have five with it, follow it right up to the boat. It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it just takes my breath away to see them like that, you know.
Yeah, and usually everybody gets overly excited when that happens, and they all backlash when they throw out, and then their lures get eaten, and then they're all busting off. I've seen that a million times, man.
Oh, God, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Throw right there, and everybody throws right there, and they all backlash.
Oh, God. I had some guys one day on this flat, and I said, guys, just hang on. These fish have been showing up here about this time. It was about 10 o'clock in the morning, and these reds had been showing up on this one flat about 10. And sure enough, man, here they came.
Here they come.
And they were blowing the water up. It looked like jackfish. I mean, they were just blowing the water up. And here they came up on that flat, and the water just turned bronze, you know. And, boy, you'd throw in there and you'd hook up and they were all slot res. I mean, yeah. Beautiful, you know. And you'd string one and you just get that one strung and you reel up and you look around and go, oh, there they are. And you cast over and hook another one, you know. I mean, it was just game on, you know. Oh, man. You just nothing like it.
That's why nothing we like do it. This. It's for days like that.
That's right.
And that's if you're right. not out there, it ain't going to happen. You got to go to make it happen or be there when
if
it
you
does.
Don't, if you don't go, you don't know.
That's it. Know? You can see a lot of man. See a lot of good things out there, what we've done over the years. And
oh, God, yeah.
Nothing but good memories, great memories.
Oh, I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You can tell people about it, but it's not like being there, you know.
No, you can, and it's
something like that. Something
you know,
like
I
that
don't
goes
know what
with you.
Makes these fish school up into big, massive schools like that, where you get the mix. You get drum, redfish, mm-hmm. trout, gaff top, and open water. Just there, just be thousands of them all together out there. I guess there's some. They're not running shrimp, or there'd be birds working on them. But they're just laying up out there, just burping slicks, and you get in them, and one day all the drum will be down deep, and you fish over the top of them to get your trout and reds, and the next day you get there, and all the drum will be swimming on top, and you got to put on a heavy head to get through them to get down to the trout and the reds. It's kind of weird. It flip-flops. Seen that so many times, it's unbelievable. Just got to adapt.
Boy. Yep, that's right.
And then there's times where nothing but a topwater will work. You have to throw a topwater through there to keep the drum off of it so the trout and the reds will eat it. It's different every time. You never know.
Yep.
Just got to fish it out. Fish it out, man.
Every day is different. Every day is different.
That's it.
Yep, that's right.
All right, Lynn. Well, I got to run, bud. If somebody wants to call you about coming down and fishing Port O'Connor or doing a little deer hunting this winter, how they get a hold of you, man?
Yes, sir. Give me 361-935-6833.
All right. Well, Lynn, have a good week. I hope you catch them up. Weather looks promising.
Oh, it looks good, man. I think it's going to be a good week.
All right, brother.
You too, man.
How you
doing,
man? Nick. All right, later.
All right, man.
All right, it's time for our top of the hour break and the national anthem, all that good stuff. You're listening to the Outdoor Show here at Sports Radio 610. We'll be right back.